Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And a welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. We start with the good martini, and this was actually featured quite prominently last night on the CBS Evening News with Scott Pelley.
There is news tonight about the presidency, both the man who holds the office and the folks who might want to succeed him. A CBS News, New York Times poll out tonight finds only 40% of Americans are satisfied with the presidency of Barack Obama. 59% say they're disappointed. When we asked Republicans whom they would like to see run for president in 2016, Jeb Bush led the list, followed by Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, and Chris Christie. On the Democratic side, far more want Hillary Clinton to run than Vice President Joe Biden.
So basically 60-40 denouncing the president's performance on the job. Jim, we knew his approval ratings were underwater, but coming from a CBS poll, which certainly won't be slanted, barely getting to 40, not only suggests that his agenda is going to have a tough time treading water, which is obviously good for conservatives, but it means there's a pretty big albatross around the neck of any Democrat on the ballot this year.
Yeah, we've seen this when Senate Democrats in purple states and red states say, I don't really want the president to campaign with me. Alison Lundergan Grimes in Kentucky was one particularly vivid example of that. It's become very clear when she refers to the president, she's talking about President Clinton. It's kind of intriguing because Obama, you know, had a really rough year last year. The IRS scandal, the NSA scandal, the Obamacare rollout. Now, obviously, his numbers really seemed to hit bottom then. And there was some sense at the beginning of the year that his numbers had started to recover a little bit. Not, you know, super duper terrific, but that there's kind of a certain theory that when he gets out of the news for a while, people feel better about him. People only really get irked with Obama when he's doing things. And it was just kind of the background noise. It's not so bad. For perspective, November of last year, the same poll, CBS News, New York Times, had Obama's approval rating all the way down to 37% and disapproval up to 57%. By January, it was back to a more split 46-47. Now it's back to 41-51 again. It's still pretty bad. What this tells us is that Obama's not going to be useful on the campaign trail for any Democrat in trouble. And, oh, by the way, that now includes Mark Udall over in Colorado, who is expected he'd be running against some second-tier Tea Party candidate. He'll be taking on Congressman Cory Gardner in all likelihood, and that's going to make a fairly serious, you know, top-tier battle in another swing state that Democrats will have to defend. People are not feeling good about the direction of the country. The right track, wrong track direction, you know, numbers are bad. They've never been good in Obama's presidency. 79% say they are unhappy about the way things are going in the nation's capital. 3 in 10 say they're angry. This is where I want to break into the song from the Lego movie, Everything is Awesome, which is all about, you know, keeping optimism even when terrible things are happening. Obama is not presiding over an era of peace and prosperity. And each day we have some sort of, the website is working better, but people don't like their options and the exchange is that much better. Obamacare does not poll well in this particular poll or any of the other recent ones lately. Democrats don't want to talk about it. There's a good chance Republicans can win that special election in Florida just by emphasizing this issue. So, you know, you add all this up, and it's a grim outlook for the president and his party in the midterm elections, that right now it seems like they just kind of batten down the hatches and think they can weather the storm. And it's not too different from what their approach was back in 2010.
Yeah, just looking at some of these other numbers here, you mentioned right track, wrong track, 63% wrong, 32% right. Some of the specific issues, not all that encouraging for conservatives. 2/3 want an increase in the federal minimum wage. This poll says 4 in 10 want Obamacare repealed. We've certainly seen that number higher in the past. On the other hand, more people either think global warming is caused by natural patterns in the Earth's environment or does not exist compared to those who think it is caused by human activity. People are pretty split on whether the government is going too far and infringing on people's privacy as opposed to the balance between privacy and security. So issue by issue, it's a little bit strange, but certainly in terms of what people are noticing in the leadership over the last 5+ years now, not unclear at all. They do not think this president is doing a good job.
we've talked about in the past, you know, a big question of whether a poll ends up being accurate on election day is how much is your sample Republicans, how much is Democrats, and how much is independents or people who don't affiliate with either party. And when they just called people up and asked them, they actually ended up with more self-identified Republicans than Democrats. Now, that could just be a random oddity, or it could be that if you're a Republican these days, you're feeling a little better about yourself, and you're willing to tell a pollster, heck yeah, I'm a Republican and I'm angry. And if you're a Democrat, maybe there's a certain, you're feeling a little reticent about identifying as a Democrat. Once they reweighted the sample, they adjusted it so it'd be 31% Democrats, 24% Republicans. We can argue about whether that's a realistic look at what the midterm elections are going to look like. But just kind of interesting change there. You don't usually see more people self-identifying as Republicans in a poll. It could just be a random oddity, but it might be something to keep an eye on in future polling to see if there's been a bit of a shift there.
All right, on to the bad martini now, and there's a whole slew of small stories that lead to a pretty big bad martini here. Number one, a Russian spy ship, unannounced, has now docked in Havana. Not sure if that was just something that was arranged beforehand that we shouldn't be upset about, but given the history of Russian things being docked in Cuba, we could probably be a little bit concerned about that. Also, Russian fighter jets along the western borders have been put on combat alert. We saw a military exercise near the Ukrainian border. Oh, and if that weren't enough, masked gunmen, according to the New York Times, seizing government buildings in the capital of the Crimean region of Ukraine, barricading themselves inside, and raising the Russian flag. Jim, it's pretty clear Putin's Olympic nice guy face is off, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that was a heck of a nice guy face, wasn't it? You know, you could feel the warmth coming from it. No, I mean, like, it's very tempting to say, well, Canada, you know, if you'd let Russia win the goal, maybe he wouldn't be able to need to take over the entire region here. Kind of unnerving here. I mean, look, maybe this is the usual saber rattling, or maybe this is something much, much more sinister. Crimea is part of the Ukraine. The Russians believe they have a historical claim to it. There are a lot of people who are ethnically Russian in it. And it just feels kind of similar to what they pulled in Georgia right before the 2008 Olympics, where they said, oh, there's a big crisis against our ethnic brothers over there, and basically sent in the troops and took over. In this case, those guys took over the Parliament building. It's unclear whether they are unaffiliated Russians who just decided to take over Parliament that day, whether they are agents of the Russian state, whether some Russian money is going to these guys, all that stuff. But you add this up along with the Russian Air Force suddenly going on high alert, the stage is set for a Russian invasion of Crimea if they decided this is how they wanted to resolve this issue. And they have, you know, just got a humiliating defeat over in Kiev with the protests and such. So this might be Putin's revenge. We'll have to wait and see on this. It certainly is very clear that what Putin wants, Putin gets. And he is rather fearless, and sometimes you might even argue reckless in the way that he goes about this. And this kind of unnerving sense that, you know, who do we got in our corner to prevent naked aggression like this? Obama, Biden, John Kerry, and Bob Kerry. Feeling safer yet, Greg?
Not exactly.
We got our all-star team. They got this. Don't worry. They're on top of this. Piece of cake. John Kerry is going to utter something that's going to change everything right now.
Yeah, and I heard comments from John Bolton earlier in the week, too, saying that even if Obama took a hard line here, he'd probably just get laughs at the Kremlin because of the track record that's already been established, where Putin pretty much, as you said, gets what he wants. He certainly got that on Syria. It looks like he's getting that to a large extent on Iranian nukes, and why would this be a whole lot different? I hope it will be, but there's not a lot of prelude to this suggesting that it will be. All right, on to the crazy martini now. And it's been a while since Harry Reid has been in the crazy martini, not because he hasn't deserved it, but just there's been some crazier stories that have deserved attention. He's had a double shot this week. First of all, on Wednesday, Harry Reid declared that the horror stories being told in relation to Obamacare are false. On the Senate floor, he said, despite all that good news, apparently he listed a bunch of statistics about enrollment that, of course, are, you know, not exactly accurate. There's plenty of horror stories being told. All of them are untrue, but they're being told all over America. And then he went on to disparage the Koch brothers. He says it's too bad they're trying to buy America, and it's time that the American people spoke out against this terrible dishonesty of these two brothers who are about as un-American as anyone I can imagine. And, of course, they're helping to fund some of these ads, like the one that's running in Michigan, where people are talking about how they could lose their lives, in fact, if they can't keep the plan that they like. So, Jim, Harry Reid hasn't changed.
Harry Reid also, you know, some of the un-American Koch brothers. These are guys who have, I believe, you add up their total charitable contributions over the course of their lifetime. They end up with several hundred million dollars sponsoring arts foundations and performing arts centers and things like that. I said this in the morning, Joe. I talked a little about this on Greta last night. Remember how, you know, when you're running for president, at least, it's considered really, really important to be likable. Right, Greg?
Sure.
Right. I mean, people have to want to have a beer with you. You have to be nice.
Sadly,
you have to
yes.
be pleasant. And, you know, the sense that, you know, a lot of people thought Mitt Romney was a stronger leader and better ideas and better plans. But by golly, Barack Obama seemed like he cared more about them. They didn't think that Mitt Romney cared. Well, do people think Harry Reid cares about people? He's just a mean, nasty SOB. And you remember he lied about, you know, Mitt Romney hadn't paid taxes for 10 years. And he said that the tourists smell funny and Barack Obama has no trace of a Negro. I mean, he just says things that people would diagnose him with having an inability to control his mouth or something like that. He'd be an obnoxious, cranky old man in any other context. But he's Senate Majority Leader. And as a result of that, everybody's kind of shrugged. Oh, there he goes again, you know. That's a senator calling other people un-American. That's no big deal. We don't need to call much attention to that. Not important. And like it's kind of fascinating how much Harry Reid says things, just flat out lies. And everybody just kind of shrugs at this. And, you know, Guy Benson, among others, was left in kind of a sputtering rage saying, you know, dear media, you have covered these stories of people getting screwed over by Obamacare. Harry Reid just said all of them are lies. He just called you a liar. What are you going to do about it? Judging by the reaction in most quarters, the reaction is kind of a meh. Well, you know, it's just Harry Reid. And it's galling and frustrating and just, you know, it goes beyond like a media double standard. It just kind of comes into the sense that, like, he's got this all-purpose hall pass that allows him to say whatever he wants without any consequence. And it's a type of extension that not only do most Republicans get, I think maybe most high-level Democrats have this all-purpose pass in which nothing they say ever gets held against them.
Yeah, I think so. And follow up on what Guy Benson had said, there was one tweet I saw yesterday, and I can't remember who it was from, but it said, man, I feel sorry for all the Democrats who are going to get deluged by the mainstream media asking for reaction about Reid's comments. Oh, wait, that only happens to Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, you get Republicans who are asked, do you stand by Ted Nugent's comment? You
know, right.
As if the average Republican said, you know, you've always been closely affiliated with Cat Scratch Fever. Anyone who's watched Ted Nugent and his, you know, reality shows know that this is an unusual character, shall we say. This is not someone you go to for carefully considered, reasoned, soft-spoken, and even-keeled policy assessments, right? I mean, this is Ted Nugent we're talking about. So if Ted Nugent says something controversial, no one should be all that surprised by it. It's not clear why any Republican, aren't you willing to denounce Ted? Well, okay, how about every Senate Democrat saying, do you agree with Harry Reid that every complaint about Obamacare is based on a lie? No Senate Democrat will ever get asked that question. And it's kind of, you know, ridiculous that there's this game of entrapment that goes on by the press and which stories get turned into not just news stories, but narratives. And, you know, as I mentioned, with Biden, Pelosi, and Reid, you could very easily start the narrative that the country is being governed by a bunch of crazy people. And we don't get that because the media doesn't want to tell that story. And as a result of that, they'll ignore the evidence and, you know, mounting evidence that, Greg, we're currently being governed by crazy people, which makes it our crazy martini of the day.
Yes. And one more time, way to go, Nevada.
Way to go, Nevada. Way to go.
Yeah. Way to go. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And please join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.